Okay, so continue with our theme of discussing times of the year. So we still have a little more to discuss before we get back to our normal topics. It's been a while now. I think it's been probably a couple of months since we were talking about our normal topics of the characters in the Torah. But we have Purim, we have Pesach. So just for this week and maybe next week, I want to discuss the time of year we're in right now, the time of the counting of the Omer. And you know, every time, every part of the Jewish calendar has its lessons to offer, its potential, its spiritual force, which it puts in the world that we can tap into. So now we're in the period of counting the Omer. We started on the second day of Pesach, and this continues on through Shavuos, 49 days. And I'll give a brief introduction just to the mitzvah itself, and then I'll describe the meaning behind the mitzvah. The mitzvah itself is a Torah commandment that from the day where we bring the Omer sacrifice. The Omer sacrifice was a barley offering brought in the temple on the second day of Pesach. That was, without getting into details of it, it's a barley offering. And that was offered in the temple on the second day of Pesach. It was to count from that day and onwards until Shavuos. That's the mitzvah the Torah gives. So that's 7 weeks, 49 days. The 50th day of Shavuos, we don't count that day. That's the end of the count is 49. According to the Torah, the obligation is only on men to count. For women, it's optional. For men, it's required. Because it's one of those time-bound mitzvahs women are exempt from. So women definitely can do it, but they're not required to do it. Men are required to count. And so that's just the basic gist of the mitzvah. It should be counted at night, ideally. So every night, you know, after it gets dark, you should count that the coming day. So for instance, last night we counted 14. This coming night will be 15. And then we go on and so on like that until Shavuos. Now, just to give a little bit of meaning to the mitzvah itself, which is really what I focus more on today. So first and foremost, the mitzvah we find connects Pesach to Shavuos. I mean, from the second day of Pesach, always Shavuos we count. Which shows that there's an inherent connection between the 2 days. And I'd like to describe what is that connection between Pesach and Shavuos that we're counting. Meaning that the fact that we're counting in between the two shows that they're really connected. It's really one big period of the year. Pesach and Shavuos sort of go together. There's a period in between which connects the two. The famous commentary of the Ramban even describes it to the extent that we can view this period as sort of like Chol Moed. Just like on Sukkot or Pesach, you have the intermediary days, which are called Chol Moed, which separate between the two Yom Tov days. So too, the counting of the Omer is sort of like the Chol Moed, separating between the holiday of Pesach and the holiday of Shavuos. So really, it's all one period. One of the most powerful understandings of that connection is that Pesach is the time where we celebrate freedom. That's when God came into Egypt for miracles and freed us. God doesn't come in to give us freedom for no reason. Freedom comes with a purpose. Freedom comes with responsibility. It doesn't make sense that God would free a nation and then just say, okay, you're free, go have a ball. That's not God's purpose. That wasn't God's mission or God's purpose in the freedom. The freedom is supposed to lead us to a certain responsibility, a certain purpose, a certain mission. So that mission comes to us on Shavuos. Meaning, so the freedom of Pesach is inextricably bound with the mission given to us on Shavuos. On Shavuos, God gave us the Torah. The Torah is our mission, the Torah is our purpose, the Torah is the meaning. And behind our freedom, it's our responsibility, you know, as people who God has selected and the miracles for. So therefore, we have to understand that connection is inherent. There are two separate things. We don't say, well, God freed us, number one. And by the way, he also gives the Torah as a separate gift. He gave us the Torah as a separate prize. It's that the freedom was only in order to receive the Torah. God said, I'm freeing you, but with responsibility involved. The responsibility is, I'm going to give you a mission in this world, and you have to fulfill it. So therefore, we show that connection between the freedom of Pesach and the Torah on Shavuos through counting the Omer. That connects those 2 days and shows that connection. So that I think is one of the most basic meanings of the counting of the Omer in between those 2 days. So to receive the Torah, we have to be prepared, and we have to understand that being freed from God is leads us towards receiving the Torah. So that's the first point. Now when we view it as the idea of counting, the counting itself is an interesting thing. It's a mitzvah we have actually just counting. We count 49 days. It's a very simple mitzvah. Count one day every day, get to 49. So what's this idea of counting? Now in a certain sense, if we're counting towards the giving of the Torah, you compare it to like, you know, like a kid who's counting down to the last day of school. They're so excited, they can't wait to get to the first day of summer. So let's say there's 50 days left of school, 49 days left of school, 48 days left of school, until they get to that final point. So if we're counting down to Matan Torah, to where God gave us the Torah, we're not only showing that the 2 days are connected, we're showing an excitement for it. We're saying we can't wait until we reach that day. That day is so exciting in our minds. That's the day we've been waiting for. We're anticipating it. So we count every day until we get there.
Does it matter whether we're counting upwards? The example you just gave is counting down. Does it really matter which order we do that in?
Good question. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Okay. Very good question. I'll talk about it now. So the question why we count upwards, not downwards. So the example I gave was counting downwards. But the reason we count upwards, many commentators say, is because it's a time where we're supposed to, a time of spiritual growth, the preparation for receiving the Torah. So if it's a time of growth and preparation, counting upwards symbolizes we're growing, we're moving up, we're not moving down. So we don't like counting down, we like counting up, because we're always on the up, we're always trying to grow and to elevate ourselves. That's the idea of counting up. So the, because this period, which I want to discuss right now, is a period of preparation and of growth, of working on our character, of working on ourselves to prepare ourselves for the giving of the Torah. Since this period is a time where we're preparing for the giving of the Torah, so that means that we actually have to take it, we're not just counting towards it, anticipating it, showing it's connected, we have to get ready. It's a time where God's about to give us our mission. On Shavuos, yearly, we re-experience on that moment in Mount Sinai where God gave us the Torah. So we have to prepare ourselves to be ready for that mission. We have to prepare ourselves to be people who are fitting to receive the Torah. And that's really our spiritual task during this time of year, is that preparation. So it's a period where there's several different aspects and ways in which we prepare for the giving of the Torah. I just want to focus in, before we get to that, number 49. We count 49 days. Why is it 49? I know you like numbers, Daniel. By 49, right? So the famous commentator Maharal, he gets very much into numbers. He discusses the symbolism of a lot of numbers throughout Torah, throughout Halacha. So one symbolism given to the number 7 is a famous symbolism of the number 7, 49, 7 squared, and we'll get to that in a minute. But number 7 itself is that there's 7 days of creation. God created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh, 7 days of creation. And 7 always represents that which fits into, let's call it, the box of this world. This world is a world created in 7 days. So number 7 is representative of things which fit into our world. Anything which our world, which our minds understand based on worldly knowledge, I would say understanding of science, of people, of nature, of daily life, that's all encompassed with the number 7. Because number 7 represents 7 days of creation, which is the extent of our world, those 7 days of creation. When you have 7, 49 is 7 squared. So Maharal discusses, and you have numbers that are squared, it means it's really, it's the full expansiveness of that idea. So if you have 7 squared, 7 is that which fits in the box of our world. The 7, 49 is the total expansion of that number. So 49 tells us everything, I would say, it's everything which fits within you know, our system, our ability to fix and change, that's by 49. So between being freed from Egypt and the giving of Torah is 49 days. So that means that during those 49 days, that's our task to prepare ourselves in any way which is within our ability, in our world, in our box. We should prepare ourselves for the giving of the Torah. I'll be more specific a little bit later on, but that's what 49 represents. Number 50, so when you go one step past 7, which we represented by 8 or 50, you know, 50 being one step past 7 squared, or 8, one step past 7, 8 always represents things which are beyond our world. That's the one, the number past creation. So there's creation in 7 days. Number 8 represents things which go beyond our box, go beyond our world. So for instance, a child has his bris on the 8th day, because a bris is how we connect with that which is beyond ourselves. A bris is something which is has any effectiveness within our world. It's connecting ourselves with the world beyond. We have the concept, I think there are other eights that are skipping my mind right now, but there are other eights you find within Jewish thought.
In the list that we read in the Haggadah 9 of pregnancy, I believe,
right.
Eight is what?
8 is the days before the bris. Right.
Eight is
right. But you find a number in Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a holiday where it's an 8-day holiday, like 8 candles. And Hanukkah represents the knowledge of Torah going beyond the knowledge of the Greeks, of philosophy and science in this world, which we discussed in Hanukkah time, I think, in this class a while back. But 8 always represents that which is a step beyond this world. So 50 goes along the lines of 8, because 50 is 7 squared is 49. You go one step beyond that, you're at 50.
Sukkot,
right, Shemini Atzeres is the 8th day. Sukkot really is 7 days, but the 8th day is Shemini Atzeres. Pesach 7 days, according to the Torah. We celebrate 8th day out of Israel, but according to Torah law, it's only 7 days.
Pesach is 8 days.
Well, only outside of Israel. According to Torah law, it's only 7 days. So the day 50, Shavuos, when we receive the Torah is coming from out of this world. So it's what's one step beyond 49. Torah is something which is above our world. It's out of our box. Mitzvahs, God's commands, prophecy are coming from beyond our world. So that's why it's number 50. Now that's out of our system. So 49 is a time frame of days, which is symbolic of perfecting really everything within our ability and system to perfect. And that then opens us up to receive the Torah, which comes from beyond our system, from beyond our world. If it's out of our world, that's something which is supernatural, from the spiritual realm, something beyond the box of the 7 days of creation, which is expanded to 49 when you square it. So that's the concept of 49. We count up those 49 days because it's a time of growth and preparation, and we're trying to build ourselves up each and every day. So we don't count down, which is diminishing ourselves. We're counting up to show that we're preparing, we're building ourselves, we're improving, and we're preparing ourselves to receive God's Torah. So the question is practically, how do you prepare? What are we supposed to do? So it's very nice to discuss that it's a day, it's a period of preparation, but what are the types of preparations which are recommended in this time of year? We have 49 days, it's a thing we're supposed to use that which is within our ability to prepare and to improve ourselves. What kind of preparation is called for in these days? So there's a few ways that's discussed throughout the commentaries. The most famous and I guess the most obvious way to prepare ourselves is through character development, midos. There's an age-old custom of studying Pirkei Avos during this time of year. Pirkei Avos is our earliest work about human character, midos, how to act, our character traits, and we customarily let that study during these 7 weeks. Pirkei Avos has 6 chapters in it, and the first week is Pesach, so don't count that week in. Then you study one chapter of the other 6 weeks, and that gets you to Shavuos. That's traditional. Many shuls will either read it during Shabbos Mincha, the rabbi might teach it during Shabbos Mincha. There are different ways in which people go about studying Pirkei Avos during this time of year, but traditionally Pirkei Avos is a study for this time of year. And it's interesting, why is it that the most appropriate way to prepare for Matan Torah, to receive the Torah, is through developing our character? So there's a famous concept on which the rabbis discuss called Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah, that Derech Eretz we use as, I don't know, acting ethically, acting kindly, acting with refined character. That's what we call Derech Eretz. And the rabbis tell us that Derech Eretz is a prerequisite for Torah itself. It comes before Torah, which is one reason why, even in the Torah itself, before we get into the chapters of the Torah which discuss laws and mitzvos, we discuss the stories of the patriarchs, because they teach us how to act. They teach us good character traits. Avram teaches us chesed, and we learn from them how to act, truth and justice. So once we can understand the idea of kindness, truth, justice, you know, being a good person, a good human being, we can move on into the other books of the Torah, Shmos, Vayikra, which discuss more of the mitzvos and the laws.
One question.
Yes.
Why do we keep so many milk on Shavuos?
Maybe we'll talk about that when we get to Shavuos.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Right. Why we eat milk hits on Shavuos? Why is the custom to eat the dairy food on Shavuos? So I think we get to Shavuos, maybe we'll talk
you're
more
right,
about
you're
that.
Right.
Yes?
I think there's a tradition that we were correcting an impurity on each day, because we were 49 levels of impurity.
Right, that's
in,
part of it as well.
Egypt.
Right, so we'll talk. I'll get to that more in a second also. Right, that's right. So so this idea of Derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah, that the character traits, refining yourself as a human being, is a prerequisite and has to precede accepting the Torah. Based on that, so we want to refine our character in this time of year, to focus in on our midos. So everyone's going to have their own midos to focus in on, whether you want to be kinder, more patient, more generous, whatever it is in each person. But this is a time of year which particularly is a time to focus in on our character. It happens to be another symbolism of 49, The number of the numerical value, the gematria of the words Lev Tov, a good heart, is 49. Lev Tov, a good heart, equals 49. So these 49 days are days where we develop a good heart. And a heart always represents that's who we are, that's our generosity, our ambitions, our drives. So we want to have a good heart during this time of year. So 49 is a good heart. So
that's one
way.
That's what the
numbers stand for? So Lev Tov in Hebrew numerically adds up to 49. Lamed is 30. The bez is 2. Test is 9. Vav is 6. And then another bet is 2. So that's up to 49. So that's Lev Tov. Good heart is 49. So this is the time of year we try to become people with good hearts. That's the 49 days. The,
one question is,
yes.
Numerical value for the 6 letters in Bereshit, can you count it to 9? You can do it quickly.
Bet is 2, Resh is 200, Aleph is 1, 203, Shin is 300, that's 503, Yud is 10, 513, and Tuf is not 4, 913. Did that right?
913,
yeah. So.
Ready for the buzzer, right? I want to go back to something. So the Omer is not considered called Moed. But yet it's treated as such, but it's not considered as. So when you're doing minyan, you don't say that?
Right, correct. And more symbolically, it's called Moed. I mean, just in terms of understanding it as a connecting point between Pesach and Shavuos. Yeah, but in terms of the halacha and davening, everything like that, it's not called Moed.
Which one? Right. You said
Ramban. Ramban. Yeah, Ramban. He says it's like called Moed. Yeah, but it's not treated that way halachically in any way. It's just symbolically, it's called Moed. It's like that. So that's the idea of character development, which I wanted to, I'll expand more on that maybe later or maybe next week, because, which I'm not discussing right now, which does creep in this time of year, there are practices of mourning which creep into the time of counting the Omer, not listening to music, not shaving, etc., which I do want to touch on maybe later today or maybe next week, but that's actually an entirely separate discussion, because based on the Torah itself, counting the Omer is a very exciting time, a very joyous time, a time of great spiritual growth. The mourning practices which creep into it came much later on, based on a plague which killed off 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, based on many deaths in the Crusades throughout history during this time of year. So other mourning practices have crept in to the time of counting the Omer, but that's not the main meaning of counting the Omer. So I don't want to confuse the two. So I do want to discuss that, but maybe
is that
later
why
on.
There's no marriages are allowed?
Right, correct. Yeah, exactly. Same reason, right, based on those mourning practices. But from the Torah itself, you know, before history developed, Omer was a very joyous time. You know, we're counting up towards receiving the Torah. It's a very exciting time. There's anticipation. There's suspense. We're excited. We're happy. And we're growing. That's what I'm focusing more on that today. I want to focus on the mourning practices either at the end of this talk or maybe next week. So this one concept is that we try to develop our midos prior to receiving the Torah. And just understand that concept for 1 minute. Why is it that good midos, good character traits, are prerequisite to receiving the Torah? So you can view it in this way. God wants to give the Torah to human beings, not to animals. If we act without good character traits, and we act in an animalistic way, That's not a proper recipient of God's Torah. God's Torah means I want you to be a human being first, be a mensch, be a human being, act appropriately, be a kind person, be a generous person, be a caring person, be a truthful person, a just person, etc. And then, now once you're acting like a human being, you are tapping into what it means to be a true human being, not an animal. Now you're ready to receive my Torah, which helps to elevate you in more spiritual ways. But if we don't act like human beings, and we can't act like a mensch, and we act like animals, and we don't treat other people appropriately, so then that's not the proper recipient of God's Torah. So it's very logical to say that Derech Eretz Kamo Torah. Derech Eretz does precede the Torah itself. And even if you view different people, we all know different people. You might know people who are very, very nice, kind people, may not be religious. So if you can view that person and say that person is a very good person, that they're lacking something they should become more spiritual people. It would be nice if they could understand God more and tap into Torah. But they're still nice, good people. We like being around them. We call them a mensch. Somebody who acts very religious but treats other people like trash, you see that person as sort of corrupt. He's got it all backwards. Because there's a pyramid. You have to build it up. You have to build up yourself as a person, and then you build yourself up spiritually. But if you build yourself up in the spiritual way and don't act like a mensch, so then you've got you've flipped the pyramid upside down. You know, that's going to crumble. But if you build up the bottom floor first, now you are acting nicely, you're a mensch, you treat others appropriately, you're honest, and then on top of that, you place mitzvos, connection with God, and that's the complete picture of the building. So we always view that obviously no one's perfect in terms of their character either. You know, all of us have issues in terms of how we treat other people, generosity, anger, whatever it may be. But to at least act like a mensch to a certain degree is a prerequisite to really receive God's Torah and to do it appropriately. So we always spoke before Shavuos comes along, when God says, here's my Torah, do my mitzvos, we try to develop ourselves as human beings to become proper, nice, upstanding human beings, and then that's the right recipient to receive God's Torah. So that's sort of the understanding of Derech Eretz Kamal Torah, the fact that proper character is a prerequisite for Torah itself. So therefore, we focus in on the Lev Tov, on the good heart of these 49 days. So that's that element of Sfiras HaOmer. There is another element of Sfiras HaOmer, counting of the Omer, which, from a little different perspective, which is separate from character development. I want to touch on this other element as well. And actually, before I get there, Stanley pointed out something I want to also add in, is that if you look at a lot of Sidurim, where it has the county Omer, it lists under it, you know, different traits. It's the part of the Sfiros, the Kabbalistic Sfiros, which tell you, you know, today's day represents, you know, Chesed and Gvura, you know, kindness and strength. It represents, each day will have its own combination. And really, the way that we would tap into those is that each one of those represents a certain part of our own character. And today, I work on the kindness involved in justice. You know, even when you're exacting justice, you have to do it in a way where you consider the other person's needs. You know, it's in ways like that. So every day does have its specific point to focus on. Yet in the bigger picture, the idea is to develop yourself in character. So you do have the fact that you are in Egypt. There is traditionally 49 levels of impurity, and every day we leave Egypt until we get the Torah, we're leaving one of those levels of impurity. So as we rectify and fix one part of our character, we've emancipated ourselves from that impurity. And that's part of the idea as well. So the 49 days represents days to perfect our midos, our character, days to leave the impurities of Egypt, the impurities of being slaves and of being part of a society which is a very physical and coarse society. And we move towards receiving God's Torah, where we become more spiritual, and we reach out beyond our world of seven and go into the world of eight. Now, to change the perspective a little bit, there's another famous concept in Jewish thought, which begins from Pesach and then develops throughout this time of year until Shavuos. And to describe that concept, I would say it's a transition between immaturity of thought to maturity of thought and understanding. And I'll describe it with an analogy. Let's say you go to a one-day seminar, right? So you're there for 10 hours straight, and the lecturers are just tossing information upon you all day long, nonstop. End of the day, you're totally wiped out. You walk away. You know, you have a basic understanding of what they spoke about. You could speak about it yourself and sound somewhat knowledgeable. But yet, you really don't quite get it yet. It was an overload. So until you take your notes out, take out the tapes of the lectures, go through it again, slowly, over the next 3 months, you're not going to really understand the material. You get it, but you don't. We've all experienced that. You kind of get it, you kind of don't get it. It's an overload. It's too much in one day. The Pesach, especially the Seder night, represents that in a certain sense. Pesach is a time at the Seder where we're supposed to just lay out for ourselves all the foundations of our faith. Now, I have one night, a short, whether your Seder goes for 3 hours, 6 hours, 10 hours, or 2 hours, but it's a short time, no matter what it is. And you're supposed to lay out on that night the foundations of Judaism, understand the foundations of our faith, of Emunah and Hashem. And in a certain sense, it's like that one-day seminar. And we're overloaded with it. So my understanding of it after Pesach is in a sense, an immature understanding. I kind of get it. I know what I'm supposed to be talking about. I know what I'm supposed to believe, if I've done it right. But yeah, I don't fully have a grasp on it. You know, give another analogy. You know, a kid cramps for a test. So the next day he can pare back the information, but he doesn't really understand it. 3 days later, the information will be gone. So Pesach night, you know, we're cramming in all this information. We're discussing the story of the Exodus, the foundations of our faith, belief in God, miracles, plagues, this, that. There's so much there. and its ideas, its concepts, information, revelations, it all packed into a very short period of time. So now we have in our calendar built in 49 days in which we're supposed to develop a more mature understanding of the material. So we started off with very raw material, sort of a very base or superficial understanding of it. We don't fully grasp on it. And even though we've all heard the story again and again and again, every year, hopefully on our own level, we've gotten new points, and on our own new level that we're on yearly, we approach it again in a fresh manner. So every year I have new perspectives, new insights, a new relationship with the material I've discussed. But I can't take just a night of the Seder and allow that to stick with me the rest of the year, because the information will be lost, it won't be fully understood, I won't fully grasp it. So we're given now 49 days until Shavuos. Shavuos is a time where God gives the Torah. Shavuos represents a time where we're supposed to develop a much more mature understanding of God. A time where where God says, here is my body of knowledge, here is my book, here is my Torah. So that's where God is saying, I want you to fully understand me. You should have a full grasp of what it means to be a Jew, of my mitzvahs, of my Torah, of Amunah. So to transition from the cramming, let's call it, or the one-day seminar of Pesach, all the way through to receiving God's Torah and being somebody who has a full basic understanding of what it means to be a Jew, it takes time to review the material, think through piece by piece, break it down, and truly understand it. So Sfiras Omer is a time where we're supposed to reflect on the material, just chew on it, and fully grasp it. So we break it down piece by piece. So, and it's interesting because the idea of Pesach, Pesach is referred to the word Pesach, we don't mean Passover, is the common translation of it, which is correct. You know, there are other translations as well, but that's the correct translation is Passover. Happens to be Rashi, in his commentary on the Torah, says it could also mean mercy, the word Pesach. But that doesn't necessarily mean Passover. He actually quotes both translations, either Passover or mercy. So, we don't call it a day mercy, we call it Passover. So I don't tell you to have a happy mercy day, have a happy Passover. I mean, Rashi does say that Pesach could mean mercy. But the idea of passing over, it's that, you know, there's a skipping involved. I'm jumping. There's a jump. It says that God jumps to us on Passover. And we jump to God in the sense of Passover. We don't have that full mature understanding of the idea. We just make a jump. We make a leap. So like a leap of faith, let's call it. But now we're supposed to step back and take the material day by day, piece by piece, detail by detail, and have develop a much more mature understanding of it, so that when Shavuos comes, we can approach God in a much more mature, developed manner. On Pesach, we're all like children. Pesach, the mitzvah, is teaching our children the story. We're all like children on Pesach. I think we discussed that a few weeks ago. On Shavuos, we all become adults, and we all have to approach God in a much more adult-like manner, which means with a much more mature understanding of it, of the material broken down piece by piece. The concept of counting itself, when you count, that means you're taking a larger, you know, group of items, and you're breaking them down piece by piece by piece. You know, so that's what's symbolized by counting. I was given this whole seminar of material, and I have to take the material detail by detail, piece by piece, and focus on it. So I have day one, day two, day three, day four. Each day, I'm breaking down material into its details, into its essence, understanding each piece by piece. So that's what 49 days gives me. It gives me a time to really chew on the material of Pesach. So that's the other concept. So the two concepts in terms of growth, of what to work on this time of year, I would say the two main topics to work on are character development and also work on a more detailed, mature understanding of the foundations of what it means to be a Jew. Of those concepts that we discuss very quickly on Pesach, that we should now reflect upon those concepts for the next 49 days. So those are the two major areas of work, the spiritual tasks that we're given during this time of year to prepare for Shavuos. Now there is a certain training involved as well, I think, in counting the Omer. And there's a pasuk, a verse in Tehillim, and it says, "Linos yameinu kein hoda v'novi levav chachma." Please teach us how to count our days, and that will bring wisdom to our hearts. And it focuses in on an idea of counting days. So besides putting aside Shavuos or Pesach for a second, I mean, what we're doing is counting days. Every day we're counting throughout Sefer Somer. We're counting every day. And it's very important to understand that every day counts. I mean, that's the lesson that we're driving home to ourselves day in and day out. That every day has its own unique opportunity. Every day is its own, you know, vessel to do what's right, to serve God. And a day, each day is a new time for improvement. You know, the sometimes we say, this is a terrible week, and you know, I'm really down, I'm depressed. But we have to recognize sometimes every day is its own unit. We wake up in the morning, we have a fresh new opportunity daily. And we can't let what I did yesterday affect what I'm going to do today. So even though I had a bad day yesterday, today can be much better, because every day is different. A day, Hashem gives us a gift of, you know, a day ends, we go to sleep, the night comes, we wake up, and there's I wake up and there's a certain freshness every morning. And to train ourselves in understanding that yesterday does not impact today, and that today I could change, even though yesterday I did not do what I was supposed to do. That's a lesson which we get from counting our days. When those who aminu kinoda teach us how to count our days, v'navi levav chachma, and it will bring to our hearts wisdom. It's something, because really, a true success in life is based on the fact that today is going to be a fresh start. I'm going to do what I have to do today. Yesterday is irrelevant. I got to work today now. Today's my day. So, you know, there's nothing like the present. So that's what that's all about. The eventually there's a concept that when, like the Torah says, when Yaakov was about to die, the Torah uses the wording, "Vayikrevu yemei Yisrael lamus," that the days of Yisrael, I mean Yaakov, because his name is Yisrael, days of Yaakov became close to death. So the rabbis discuss, why? What do you mean the days approach death? They say he was approaching death. Why are you focusing on the days? So the rabbis tell us that when we die, what do we bring up to God? We bring up to God our days. I mean, every day, I would view a day as like a jar. And you present to God, and hopefully we have thousands of days in our life. You present to God thousands and thousands of jars. And every single jar is going to have in it what you did during that day. So one day we have a jar full of, you know, nice things, acts of kindness, and, you know, mitzvos, and all sorts of nice things. Other days will, you know, be empty. They won't be quite as full. But each day is its own vessel, its own jar, which you're going to present to God. So just because yesterday's jar was empty, doesn't mean today's jar can't be empty. And since we view the day as a unit, so it gives us a brand new opportunity. The idea of carpe diem is a Jewish concept. It really is. You seize that day, you act on it. You know, days are very significant. So there's a certain training involved when I'm counting my days, day by day. Today is day one, day two, day three. It's training me that, forget Sfiras HaOmer, the whole year long, I have to make sure each day gets its own unique number. Every day is unique. Every day is different. Every day is an opportunity. And we wake up in the morning, we can't let yesterday impact today. We can't say, well, yesterday was a terrible day, today's also going to be terrible. Well, that's not true. Today you can fill up your jar to be a totally complete jar today. You can present to God, you know, today, on May 3rd, 2011, you know, my jar was complete. And it's very meaningful. So that's something which is worthwhile in keeping in mind year long, but it also is preparation for Shavuos as well. Because, you know, what greater preparation is there in receiving God's Torah than understanding that I have to value my time, value my day, value my time I have. And every moment I have, every day I have is precious. And when God says, I'm giving you a mission, so then I understand, well, I have every single day, I can value my time, fulfill that mission on a daily basis. Many times throughout Tanakh, it discusses the idea of Yom Yom. I forgot there's a pasuk which says, I don't remember offhand, but it talks about blessings being given daily. We work for God daily. A day is a very significant thing. So even though it's hard to say, well, what happened the truth is, what happened 5 minutes ago doesn't impact me right now either. If 5 minutes ago I did something wrong, I can change right now as well. We don't sense that in the same way, because it's all one continuous day. But when I go to sleep at night, it gets dark, I wake up, and the sun's up, and it's a new day. We sense that there's a fresh start there. And when we value that time, value that ability, the opportunity to make every day unique, that's a tremendous thing that can change our lives. So, just to recap, the three concepts which to focus in on during this time of year, we should merit to tap into these things. It's time to focus in on our character. It's time to focus in on our maturity of understanding of Torah, of God's ideas, of the different fundamentals and foundations of Judaism that we developed on Pesach. And it's a time to really maximize how we use our days. We count day in, day out. We should maximize how we view a day, how we use a day. And we should all be able to bring our days up to God as full, complete jars filled with good things, mitzvos, and success. That's how we should do it.
From your lips to God's ears.
I hope so.
Yeah. You know, this is so... I was reading a little that being depressed is not Jewish. You can't chronically be depressed, because if you're depressed, then you can't honor Hashem. And so living the day to the fullest is incompatible with hiding under the covers because you don't feel like getting out of bed. I mean, we all have that feeling, but we still get out of bed. And this is so you know, it just makes so much sense.
Right, right.
Yeah, am I right, kind of?
I think that's right, yeah. You can't... It's great. It's someone who's depressed and under the covers and closing themselves,
day
in, day out. They can't function. You can't accomplish. And we have a mission, and we have a meaningful mission in life, and then we can't be depressed.
Right.
And it should really work the other way. Since my life is meaningful and I have a mission, then I won't get depressed if I think about it that way.
Right, exactly.
Right.
That's even a better way of looking at it, actually.
Well, so if you're depressed, you can't spread the word.
Right.
Yeah, you can't spread the word about
people aren't
depression.
Right, yeah. You're teaching me my life. Look at you. You know, you're down in the dumps. Right.
In the crossing of the Sinai, that's also 49 years?
That was 40. In the desert, they were in the desert 40 years.
40.
40 years. Correct. Right. 40 years.
Also, counting your days will tend to make you more aware that your days aren't unlimited.
Right.
So I think that will maybe give you a sense of urgency that you should.
Right, that should boost how you act. Right.
No, but in that saying, live every day as if it's your last.
Right.
Yeah. That's so you can be ready to die yesterday.
Well, also so that you don't have any unfulfilled mitzvah you want to do and things like that.
Right.
People you want to visit.
Right. The Gemara says the concept, it quotes a verse from Koheles, it says, at all times your clothes should be white, and you should have, the word it uses, you should have oil upon your head, which means you should always be prepared, you should have clean clothes on, literally clean clothes on, have your perfume on, be ready, and the Gemara says that's symbolic of the fact that you have to be ready to die at any second, which means you have to be able to approach God in the way you want to approach God. If we're not ready, I mean, God forbid it could happen any time to anybody. And we have to be ready to present ourselves and we want to be presented. We can't walk into God looking, you know, totally, you know, smelly and disgusting with, you know, we have to walk into God presenting ourselves like we want to be presented.
Why I can't have a hole in my underwear.
Right. Yeah, that's how our mothers raise us. Always have clean underwear and always make sure there's no holes in it.
Right, exactly. So it applies to our spiritual underwear as well, I guess.
Yeah.
In the same way. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm glad we're back, and thank you.